Well, we're in the second week of our Stories Along the Journey series, talked about a little bit earlier. Had a great time with Nate last week. Somebody asked me afterwards, they're like, you know, are you okay talking with that kind of subject matter, you know, in public? Yeah, we are. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Here at Journey, we really feel like one of the things that we've lost a lot in the church is a sense of being real with one another. Most of the time, if you bring somebody up on platform at a church, it's because, you know, there's something great, wonderful, good going on in their life, and we want to tell everybody about that. Well, we want to tell those kind of stories. Don't get me wrong. We love those kinds of things. I'm really excited. We have a couple of the college students that were with us this past year that went on mission trips this summer. We're excited about hearing from them when they get back and knowing what took place in their life and how God did some really cool things in the different places that they went. And we got some people that are tackling some new challenges and excited to see what God's going to do there. But I think it's also important for us to talk about the struggles and the failures that we face as well. Because most of us, if we're honest about it, don't have it all figured out and don't have it all ready to go. And so if we just stood up here on Sunday morning and made it look like we had it all together and that everything was perfect, we'd just be lying. I mean, it's the only way I know how to put it. I can tell you that I struggle as much as anybody. And so we want to be real and authentic with that when we begin to share stories about life with one another. And so we got another great couple this week. Last week we had Nathan. This week we got a couple. Krista and Scott Baker are going to come share with us. I'm going to ask them to walk on up here while I begin to give you the disclaimer that is necessary here, okay? Because most couples, I'd be able to just bring up here, kind of talk about their story, that kind of thing. This one, there is a connection. I know that when I tell you I am blood related to one of these two, you just don't see it. I get that. We don't look exactly alike. But Krista's my sister. She is almost 5 years younger than me. Not really. I just like saying that. She was 4 school years younger than me growing up. So she made out like a bandit at 8th grade graduation because I was having a high school graduation party. So she got tagged in. And I'm telling you, I didn't get anything like that when I was in 8th grade, but she did. So she owes me to this day. I'm still waiting for that check, and that hasn't happened yet. And then Scott, obviously, is my brother-in-law. Know them both well. And so because of that, one of the things that I want to make sure that I do is give them the opportunity to tell their story. But then I also want to give the opportunity to give the brother perspective in the midst of all this. Because you know how it is, sometimes what things look like inside a situation is different than the look outside the situation. And we each bring our own perspective and filters to things as we begin to look at it. So the first thing I want to ask you guys today is, Scott, we'll start with you. All right, just because it seems more appropriate to pick on you first. You went through kind of a typical American childhood, grew up in a home with parents that loved you, with kind of a unique situation in that you were adopted into a family that had both biological children and adopted children. You and your sister were adopted into a home where there was already an older brother, and then would come later a younger brother. So you guys were kind of bookended by your brothers. Growing up, sports, all the kind of typical all-American kid kind of things. Your mom's a teacher. Dad worked in insurance and other things around. His dad, by the way, is a Missouri high school legend. Is in the Missouri High School Basketball Hall of Fame. Scott did not quite get the vertical there, being an adopted child, didn't get the DNA passed on the same way. Can still play some ball, but does not quite have the height that his dad had there. After high school, went to the military, served time not only stateside, but in combat in some really rough situations. He was a parachute rigger, which I always find really exciting because one day before I die, I want to jump out of a plane. And the fact that he's done it a lot of times makes me really jealous. And then you were married at that time. Mm-hmm. And talk to me a little bit about kind of what life was like as you were coming out of the military and all that kind of thing.
Okay, I got out of active duty service in 2004. Like Chad said, I did deploy a couple times during that. I was going through a rough time. My wife and I at the time decided that we just really were not compatible after about 7 years. And that was rough for me because, you know, being a young man, I was in love, she wasn't, kind of thing. And so I did what, well, I was already kind of in the scene of the party scene, the drinking every night, and I mean every absolute Monday through Sunday, every night. And, you know, when I would get a paycheck, if it said $850 for 2 weeks of pay, that meant eight nights of drinking, okay? Not something I'm proud of, but definitely something that was a very big part of my life at the time was the party scene. I told Chad before, you know, I would drive home from work, and I didn't have a specific bar I partied at or drank at. It was the first bar I saw on my way home from work. That would be the bar I would stop at. And again, I would dump anywhere from $75 to $100 easily every time I did it. It was a rough time because I moved back home with a lot of influences that I had growing up in high school, the same ones that kind of got me into the whole mix of stuff. So it was hard to move back home, end up single. You kind of feel lost because all your friends are still married or, you know, have moved on to other things, and you come back home and you got to start all over. And so naturally I started hanging out with younger guys and girls who were big time in the party scene, and that's where I was at heavily.
So you come out of a broken relationship, already been involved in some of that kind of lifestyle beforehand, but obviously the emotions and everything going on in the midst of that just kind of kicked it up another notch. Right. And now it's a whole lot easier to, you know, the old drown your sorrows in the in the mug kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely. Now, Krista, share with the folks here, because I'm somewhat familiar with your story, having known you, but share with folks what life was like for you growing up in kind of early adulthood.
Obviously, we were raised in a Christian home with very godly parents, and so faith was just instilled in me from a time I was young. And really my first big hurdle in life was my freshman year of high school. During spring break, we found out that my dad had colon cancer. And so for the next year, he was sick. And I think in my young teenage mind, I didn't really accept it and didn't really understand where it was headed. And then the summer after my sophomore year of high school, he passed away. And I thought I was doing really good with it. I didn't understand it, but I trusted that God had a plan and this is gonna work its way through somehow, some way. And so I put on the happy face and I went through the rest of high school and pretty much didn't change my plan. Didn't, I tried not to let it alter me any more than I had to, and I thought I was doing really well. And then I went off to college, and all of a sudden I came to the realization that I don't think I really ever did deal with it or grieve. And unfortunately, my way of dealing with it was kind of running away, and I would stay in Missouri for long periods of time and convince my mom, don't come visit me, or when she'd really, really badly want to, or I wouldn't come home as often as I probably should have. And I wasn't going to church regularly at the time, and I wasn't into the party scene the way that he was, but I still hung out with people who did. I'd still go out to those places all the time, being very convicted that I knew I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing. I wasn't where I should be. I wasn't anything. Got into a relationship at a young age and got married way too young to not the right person and not the right time. And as a result, that marriage did not work out for numerous reasons. And so then I was at a point where, okay, I get it. I'm going to change everything, you know, and once again, just kind of stayed dormant. Just went through life without really doing what God wanted me to do. I just kind of floated by. And then got into another relationship. Didn't get married this time, luckily, but then it ended and I just was still, you know, I wasn't doing anything that was that terrible, but I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing either. Just kind of lost myself.
All right. It's very interesting to me, you know, when hearing you guys talk about your stories and of course knowing you, that there is that sense of longing, that desire to be connected, to be in the right place, to do all that kind of stuff, and yet both looking for things in very different ways. For Krista, it was very much about relationships and connection in that kind of way. For Scott, it was kind of escape, you know, to feel. Scott's told me stories about some of the situations he would get into when he was in the midst of that lifestyle. Now, let me kind of make a blanket statement here when we start. Just like last week when we were talking about sex, okay, sex is not bad. We've never said that within the context of what God designed it for, between a husband and wife in that loving relationship. It's awesome, incredible stuff. And in the same way with this, this is not this blanket statement, don't drink. Okay, that's not that deal there. That's a decision that you have to make. But we do know that the Bible clearly says we're not to be drunk. Okay, it's not to be something that consumes us to the point that it changes who we are and how we react. And Scott would definitely say that's where he was with that. Yeah. In fact, I don't know how you came out of some of the scrapes that you told me about. Either you were just really one bad dude, or God was just really looking out for you in the midst of that, and it may have been a combination of both. I'm not sure. But so Krista had kind of run. Scott had kind of run in different ways. But when you guys kind of began to link up, some things began to kind of change for both of you. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I think that at that time, I don't think either one of us expected to end up married out of the deal. I think neither one of us were looking for a long-lasting relationship, but we were looking for friendship. We were looking for someone to hang out with and do things with. And for me, all of a sudden, I became the person that he was looking to as kind of a role model, or as someone who was kind of on the right track. And for me, I was so on the wrong track that the thought of someone looking at me for guidance was a little overwhelming, because here God was using me in the time that I thought was the lowest part of my life. And so that's when I really realized, okay, it's time to get your act together, time to try to get him to get his act together. And then whenever God kind of started taking over, then all of a sudden we kind of started getting on the right track.
Yeah, like Krista said, I was trying to come out of that deep dark hole I was in, at the bottom of a bottle. I'm one of those people, I'm not necessarily a follower or a leader, but I just kind of need motivation in life to do one way or another. And so I just need somebody really to come along and show me that they cared enough about me and that they loved me no matter what, and they weren't judgmental about who I was or what I did, to motivate me to back where I needed to be. Like Chad said, I grew up in a Christian home, and I knew this stuff was, I knew it was wrong, but I didn't care. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. Just give you a real quick story. The last time I drank, got pretty bent on some whiskey and got in a bar fight and probably should have ended up in jail for it. And instead of telling me, like, you know, you're an idiot, you have a problem, I can't see you till you get it fixed on your own, Krista stood right by me and basically encouraged me and told me that you can do this, it's not going to be easy, and nobody has the right answers for you, but you can do this and I'll be there and I'll support you through it. And because of her, I literally quit drinking. So, I mean, like Krista said, that's what I needed. I need somebody to support me and not pass judgment on me about who I was or what I did, you know, and again, just show me the love I needed in life. So
you guys are beginning to date. I remember Krista calling. She was supposed to come visit. We lived in Southern Illinois at the time, so it wasn't that far for her to get over and see us. And it was kind of like it was this interesting neutral point for her to come to when she would come back to Illinois. Down there, it wasn't back up here with all the memories and that kind of stuff. And so she came over to visit down there, and she's like, oh, I'm bringing somebody with me. Oh, really? we hadn't met him, didn't know anything about him yet. And in comes Scott. And if you've ever been around Scott for more than 2 nanoseconds, you know, he's an incredibly personable guy. I mean, he'll carry on a conversation with anybody about anything, whether he knows anything about it or not. I mean, he'll just jump in and go. And it's a ton of fun. I love him. And he was so, so personable like that when we walked in. But I remember looking at Rachel, I'm like, okay, this is so not what I pictured Krista. You know, I mean, because at that time, I mean, it was a different kind of deal. I mean, it was very interesting and trying to kind of watch this whole thing and what was going on. And it wasn't long after that where they're like, hey, we want to get married. And we're trying to find a place to get married kind of like in between the families. So could we get married where you're at? And at that time, it was down in Anna, and we were getting ready to move. And so they worked it out to where, like, just a few weeks after we'd moved to Carlinville. I mean, we were brand new, just moved to our house, all that kind of stuff. They were coming to Carlinville, and we're going to get married there. And we've talked about this. In fact, we talked about it again this morning. That was a struggle time for me because I'd watched my sister go through a marriage that had failed. And no big brother wants to watch his little sister go through that ever. I mean, you don't want to do that. I'd gone through my own failed relationships. And so wanting things to be right for her, I'm sitting here struggling because I would ask her questions like, well, you know, what's his faith background? You know, that's always like an easy, nice, generic way to put it and all. Oh, well, he grew up such and such. Okay, well, that doesn't tell me anything, you know, so I'd wait a little bit longer. Well, you know, he believes in God. Well, good. I'm glad, you know, that kind of thing. And it was always these really vague, broad answers. And I was kind of struggling because one of the things that Krista had done when she kind of, as she put it once, you know, as she'd run away to Missouri, was there was kind of this wall that was up. And not wanting to see that wall get any wider, taller, or thicker, I'm sitting there kind of struggling in my heart saying, boy, do I do this wedding? You know, I don't know if they're equally linked, if they're connected in that kind of way. I'm struggling with the whole deal. And I erred on the side of saying, you know what? I don't want that wall to get any worse. And so if I can be linked, if I can be connected, then maybe there's an opportunity later to kind of see where this thing goes and all. So you guys end up getting married. One of the most hilarious moments of my life. I'm doing their wedding. You guys know Caleb, my son. He's much younger at that point. He's twirling the pillow that the rings are on the entire time during the ceremony. Lays down on the platform, takes a nap. I mean, it was one of those America's Funniest Home Videos kind of moments. And so we were just having a good time, relaxing. My stepdad, Harlan, has a red convertible that we were using after the wedding. And so I actually got to drive them. It was my job to drive them to the reception. But we got a call from the reception saying, they're not ready for you yet. And we're in Carlinville, a town of 5,000 people. It's not like there's something to go do in that moment, you know, to wait. So we went to the McDonald's drive-thru with the top down, her in her wedding dress, him in his tux in the back seat. We're going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. People are getting out and taking pictures like it's movie stars because in Carlinville, that's what was going on at the moment. And so, I mean, just a ton of fun stuff going on. And you guys made a decision not long after you got married to change something pretty significant. What happened then?
We just kind of felt like we needed a fresh start. We both had a lot of baggage where we were at, and we had a lot of things that were kind of holding us from moving forward. So we just really felt like we needed to get away from that area and make a fresh start. And I was not ready to move up here yet. I wasn't ready to come back and face everything up here. So we started thinking, well, Chad and Rachel are halfway. We like them. So
yeah, all right.
Maybe we could move her there.
Can we get that video? Can I just play that over and over? I just, you know, in that moment when she's, no, okay.
We talked with you guys, and you guys were really supportive, and we moved to Carlinville.
Moved to our basement, in fact.
Yes. Until our house
we
was
like
ready.
Basements.
Yeah, I was saying it's become a pattern, but we'll talk about that in a minute. They came and lived with us, and it was really funny because Scott and I ended up in a conversation one night. He's sitting on the couch. I'm sitting in, I had this greatest recliner ever.
Which was there. Probably at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
by
it
the
was
way.
It was forever late. We used to play silly video games and stuff way too late and all that kind of thing. And end up talking, and Scott talks to me about the fact that he did have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He could look back to that specific moment in his life where he'd begun that relationship, but really had walked away. It's not the relationship connection wasn't there, just that it wasn't a strong relationship because of what had taken place there, and that he'd never followed through in what we would call believer's baptism, being baptized after you've made a decision to begin a relationship with Christ. And so I got the incredible privilege of being able to baptize Scott, and then immediately began seeing some changes in his life and in their life together. Scott walks into me one day, he's like, I don't know if you know this or not. And I mean, it was like he had this like huge weight on his shoulders. I'm like, what's he getting ready to admit to me? You know, he's part of the cartel. I don't know what's going on. And he was like, dude, I smoke.
Cigarettes.
Yeah, I kind of known that from the
cigarettes.
Moment. Yeah.
Cigarettes.
I'm like, I've kind of known that from the moment I met you. How? I have a nose. You know, these things work. And you kind of figure, he was telling me earlier, you know, he said, when you're a smoker, you don't think that other people know. We know, okay? It's not a big secret. And he's like, I really want to quit. Okay, why? Because Krista said, before we can have kids, I have to quit smoking. That's a good reason to quit, you know? And it wasn't just that. He kind of made a decision in his life that
well,
he wanted to do that.
Caitlin and Caleb, that was probably the biggest one at the time.
Yeah, they were living in our basement, and he was getting tired of going around the corner and trying to make sure the kids weren't around the other corner of the building while he was smoking. And nobody ever said he had to hide it or anything like that. That was just something that was kind of in his heart about the whole deal. And watched him kind of take some steps in his life. And it wasn't long after that. I mean, you guys had gotten really linked and connected in church for the first time in a long time for both of you. And then you guys began working in kind of a new position. Tell me what that was like when you did that at the church.
We started working with the youth. We taught the junior and seniors high school group, and it was boys and girls. And for me, it was a little overwhelming at first because having been off track for quite a while, these kids seemed to have it more together than we did at the time. And I think we learned just as much from them as they learned from us, but it was such a great growing experience for both of us because we hadn't taught before, and all of a sudden we're the teachers and we're feeling so inadequate, but then we learned that we were able to use our experiences and our failures and our struggles and connect with the youth in a different way. And I mean, they were like our kids. I mean, we just love them, and it just really it grew our relationship with each other, with the kids, but it definitely grew our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are still connected with a lot of those kids today. In fact, just last night, Scott was telling about one of the kids that they were very close to, who's in the Middle East right now, in a combat zone, hoping to get a ride out of the combat zone. Otherwise, he's there for another like 2 months. And so that was heavy on Scott's heart last night. And then Scott, so now things have kind of gotten on track. You've kind of gone from one life now to a different life. You've re-engaged your relationship with God in a significant way, but yet a new challenge hits you. Tell me what happened.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there that'll lead into the story. Like Chad said, you know, I got reconnected with God, you know, did the baptism and it really was, like I said, we felt like we were in the right place and felt comfortable with where our relationship was with God. It probably wasn't maybe 6 months to a year after we were really getting involved. I came home from work one night not feeling quite right. Something was off completely. And Krista could always tell when I wasn't feeling well, because maybe once a year I might get sick. It was very rare. To make a long story short, I ended up in the ER. It's a small town ER, and so the fear of, you know, what's going to happen to me when I go in here starts setting in almost immediately. The biggest fear I had was I couldn't breathe, I'm overweight, I just quit smoking, I'm having a heart attack. That was the first thing that came to mind. So they get me into the ER, and Chad showed up probably literally like 3 minutes after we got there, it felt like.
Thank goodness.
And so it was Chad and Krista there with me, and they hooked up all the machines to me, you know, the EKGs and everything, did chest x-rays, everything. And I think they even probably gave me about 6 nitro pills, probably over the legal limit, because I couldn't get my breath and my body just wasn't. There's a funny breathing story to that, but anyway. And
we'll save that for the blooper reel. Yeah. We'll put it with Nate from last week. It'll be all right.
So anyway, the next day, you know, they admitted me into the hospital. So the next morning, the ER doctor came in, which I don't even remember seeing her the night before. And she tells my wife, she looks at both of us and she says, "You guys need to go see an oncologist. There's nothing more we can do for you." And I'd never dealt with cancer in my life, didn't know anybody that dealt with cancer, so I didn't know what that meant exactly, but Kristen knew right away what that meant. We were about to go through hell. And it really felt like that for about 6 months. I mean, one doctor saying, you know, yes, this is cancer, it's lymphoma, we just got to diagnose which kind it is so we know how to treat it. And we went to him for a few months, and they did 2 bone marrow biopsies in one day, 2 lymph node biopsies, and kept saying, well, you know, showing up negative, we're not sure what's going on. And that was towards the end of that 6-month time period. And then we went to another specialist in St. Louis who was saying, and he was a pulmonology specialist, and which is a lung doctor, and he said, no, this is cancer, you need to go back. So this kind of went on for another, 3-4 months, going back and forth. And it was just, like I said, it was a scary thing. It was a reality check for someone who's been in combat, been in bar fights, won most of those, you know, that this is how I was going out. Cancer was going to take me out. And I'll be honest with you, I started to feel some of the same emotions I felt in the past. I was starting to feel some anger towards God, how he could do this to Krista twice in her life. But through togetherness and prayer and the love and support through people, that stayed pretty dormant through most of that.
And what was it like for you, having watched your dad be diagnosed with cancer, fight it and lose that fight, to then hearing those words from the doctor, you've got to call an oncologist?
I was nervous. This was a pulmonary oncologist. So at first I'm calling mom and I'm like, okay, so it's really a pulmonologist, you know, and she's like, Krista, I think you need to be prepared. And I'm still, God won't do this to me twice. It's not going to happen. I've been through it once. It's not going to happen again. So when we sat in the office and the doctor came in, and I mean, he just sat down and looked at everything and he said, this is lymphoma. And I just kind of looked and I looked at him and I said, okay, get real with me. Tell me, is this 100% this is what it is, or is there a chance this might not be cancer? And he said, no, I've done this. I mean, he was an older doctor. He's been doing it for a long time. He said, it is 100% lymphoma. He said, right now, we just got to figure out which kind it is. And so I'm like, okay. So they ran a bunch of blood work, and I'm sitting there waiting, and we get out to the parking lot, and I think we were in shock up until that point. And then I just lost it, and I called mom, and I just was a mess because I just didn't understand why now, why us? It just was, and then knowing what the road could potentially be ahead was just so overwhelming in that moment.
And I remember you guys went through all these decisions at once. You guys have been thinking about having kids, and there was a desire to say, well, hey, if Scott may not be around long term, do we go ahead with that? Do we not? Do we definitely go ahead so that there's still this connection? I mean, there were all those kinds of questions that were going through your mind. So you go through several months of this process, you see multiple specialists who all say, yes, absolutely, it's lymphoma. There are test results that prove it's lymphoma. But was it lymphoma? This is the crazy thing. Some people would say it was never lymphoma, it was misdiagnosed. But there were multiple specialists that saw the test results and said it's lymphoma. All we know today is Scott does not have lymphoma. That's kind of a cool praise thing. That's awesome. God worked in that situation. And that's not, now Scott does have a chronic disease that he will deal with the rest of his life. He has something called sarcoidosis. At its base, it's a pulmonary disease, affects the lungs. It means that some days, like last night, Scott's able to go out and play softball with us and have a great time and kind of run around the bases. We kind of run around the bases. We let other guys really run. We kind of run. And then there are other days where just getting out of bed is a huge difficulty. If there's anybody that would understand that, it would be Krista, because Krista deals with fibromyalgia in her life. And so she knows what it's like not to be able to get up and do what she wants to do. So here God's brought you to this place. He's done all these things. There's one more piece of the story that I want to get to before we wrap it up. You guys end up, after all that, transitioning up here because of work and other things. You guys move up here to Northern Illinois. You're living in Manteno. You've gotten involved at a church and kind of plugged in there. Maybe not the same level or extent that you'd been before, but you were there and you were happy and making connections. And you guys were one of the very first couples to hear about Journey Church as we were talking about what it could be and all. But initially made the decision that you were not going to be a part of this. Kind of take me through that thought process.
Well, when Chad and Ashley Rachel and Eric and Ashley first talked to us about it, we were really excited because they were our core group of friends when we were in Carlinville. And so the thought of having them up here was just really exciting for us. And that's kind of just, that's what we thought about more, was having them up here than of what they were really here to do. But it was kind of an overwhelming time in our life. We had just transitioned up here, living in our parents' house for the first time since high school. I mean, that's really kind of hard on the ego. And in the midst of all this, we had done a bunch of fertility stuff. We're basically told that was going to be the only way we were going to be able to get pregnant. We had tried some fertility measures, hadn't happened. Scott got sick. We put everything on hold. And then he lost his job. And all of a sudden, we're pregnant.
God was like, now.
And so I was pregnant when we moved up here, and we were still kind of reeling from, and very excited, of course, because we thought we weren't going to be able to have this baby, and then all of a sudden, we've got this miracle child. But it was very overwhelming. Just the emotional roller coaster we had been on was just a lot. And so when we started thinking about the time commitment, the energy, the money, just everything that Journey Church would need out of core members, we didn't feel like we had it to offer. And so it was really a struggle for us at the time, because we wanted to be so excited for them, we wanted to be excited with them, but we felt like we couldn't do it. So then we felt left out, and we felt like not a part of it, and it was a really hard struggle for a long time. But we had finally settled in at Bethel, and we had such a good group at Bethel. I mean, we just loved our Sunday school class. We were getting so close with and making such a good group of friends. And so we were feeling really confident in it, and then the conviction, the Holy Spirit was just working. And Scott was pretty much ready, and it was me that was holding us back. And then Chad came to Bethel to preach. And it just was overload for me, and I just started crying, and I just knew right then and there, okay, this is what, my reasons were good reasons, but they weren't God's reasons for not doing it. And I just knew that this was something that we needed to be a part of. Our past could actually help us at a church like this to reach people who think that they're, you know, that they're unlovable, that they're whatever. Well, we've been there, done that, and we're proof that God still loves us, and he still cares about us, and he still has a plan for us. So we were just excited at that point. And then we talked with Chad, and he was able to share with us that, you know, they'll take whatever they can get from us, you know. So even if we weren't being able to do, you know, everything that everyone else could do, whatever we could give would be, you know, if this is really what God was calling us to do, that then we needed to go ahead and do it. And that was like a peace settling over. So it was like coming home, and we were just like, we're comfortable again and just happy. And even though life is very in turmoil half the time, it's when we're here, it's comfortable and it's home and secure.
So you guys have gone this huge storyline, and we've covered tons of stuff today, but I want to kind of wrap it up in this way. You've gone from kind of running from issues both in different ways, but running from that to finding a link not only with God but with each other, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, seeing God kind of take you through that. What is it about your relationship with God that makes a difference in your life now?
And I think Krista really kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's when you're a person that's in the bars all the time, when you're out on the town, whatever you want to call it, partying, you're looking for that. And I think Nate even said it last week. You're looking for that connection with something or someone, the love that you feel like you're not getting somewhere else. And for those of you that have made that step and that commitment to God, you know how it feels. It's an overwhelming feeling of security, comfort, love, you know, that you're never going to be alone through anything, you know, whether it be sickness, the loss of somebody, financial issues, drinking issues. I mean, whatever it is, you're never going to do it alone because, you know, you got the comfort of God on your side. And that's what it is for me.
Yeah, I'm along the same lines. I never was without God, but it's nice to live without all the conviction. It's nice to feel like I'm at least trying. I mean, obviously I don't do everything right and there's still conviction in my life, but at least I'm trying to live the life that God wants me to. And that, like I said, it feels like you're coming home. It feels like you're in your dad's arms. And knowing that, you know, Scott may not be here tomorrow, Chad may not be here tomorrow, whoever, knowing that God's there no matter what happens here on earth, for me, that's a huge comfort.
Thanks, guys. Can we thank them for sharing their story this morning? For Krista especially, this is kind of a big deal. For years and years and years, even when she was active and engaged in a church, she wouldn't go on Father's Day because of what that meant and the connections that were there, and so I appreciate her being here today. As we wrap up, I know we're a couple minutes over, but if you'll just give me 2 or 3 minutes here, here's what I'd like to do. A few weeks ago, we talked about this story of a young man who wanted to run. We don't really know why or for what reason, but we know he went to his dad and said, "Dad, give me everything I've got coming to me. Give me that inheritance that's mine." So he goes to him and he asks for it and he says he takes it to a distant land and he squanders it all. I don't know on what. It really doesn't matter. It may have been a $100 bar tab a night at a bar. It may have been on relationships. It may have been on stuff. I don't know what it was about, but he blew it all. Blew it to the point that he's so destitute that he's feeding slop to pigs. That's the job he's paid for. And he's a Jewish kid, so he's not even supposed to be around pigs. And here he's the one feeding them the stuff. In fact, he's so hungry that he would give anything just to have some of the pig slop that they're getting to eat. I mean, that you talk about low. Talk about on your back looking up. That's where he was. And there's this really great thing. In fact, we're going to put it up on the screen. It's in Luke 15. And it happens, Jill, let's start at verse 17. Can we do that? Luke 15, verse 17. This is what it says. It says, "When he came to his senses." Now, I love that statement. It's one of the great prefacing statements of anything that comes up. It says, "When he came to his senses," this is what happened. I think a lot of us have run from issues in our life. And maybe it's past hurt. And maybe it's past regret, or maybe it's just decisions that we've made, or whatever's going on, and we've run from those things in lots of different ways. And this young man finally says, when he came to his senses, said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger." And he goes on and he rehearses this little speech in his mind. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you," and yada, yada, yada. "And I want to, you know, I want to make everything better. In fact, could I just come back and be like one of your slaves?" is basically what he says. So he takes off for home. And as he's heading for home, this is what happened. Verse 20. "So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him." Goes on to restore his son. to that rightful place that he wanted him to be in the entire time. If you get the opportunity, and I hope you take the opportunity sometime today or in the future to get to know Scott and Krista a little bit more and just sit around and chat with them, Scott will tell you he was running. Krista will tell you she was running. But when they came to their senses, here's the cool thing. God was waiting to throw his arms around them and kiss them and welcome them back into that relationship that he had intended them to have. And I want you to know that you have the opportunity to come back into that relationship. Maybe you already have a relationship with God, but you've run from it. Maybe you've never begun one and you've been looking to fill that void in your life in all these different ways. Can I just tell you that God wants that for you today? Here's what we're gonna do. Here's how we're gonna end out today. I just wanna take a moment and pray for you. I'm not gonna have any music or anything special like that. I just want the opportunity to pray with you. And if you're here today and you've got questions about this kind of stuff, maybe just take the moment when we're done today and grab somebody by the arm and say, would you talk to me about this? Kristen, Scott, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you. Other people around would love that opportunity. Would you pray with me right now? Would you do that? God, I just come to you and I thank you for the testimony of Kristen and Scott and for the way that they have shared with us today. I thank you for their vulnerability in admitting the struggles of broken relationships, be it through the loss of a father or the failure of marriage that didn't work out. Father, a loss of dreams and expectations and all that kind of stuff. God, the struggle of life even now. Struggling with disease and knowing that even though you brought about miracle, that there's still a daily struggle that takes place there. And now raising this beautiful little girl and all those things that they have going for them. God, I pray that as we look at our lives, that you would help us understand that you desire to be in relationship with us. And then instead of running from you, we can run to you. And you will welcome us with open arms. Thank you for that assurance today. God, when we leave this place, I pray that you would have us go out ready to share our story with others so that it might make a difference in their life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple announcements before you go, then I'll let you get out, okay? We'll still make it to lunch before the rest of the churches because we started before they did, okay? So don't worry. Don't panic. Next Sunday is a very special day for us at Journey. If you show up here next Sunday, you will be in the wrong place, okay? We need you to head right down 45, go past Walgreens, go past Jimmy Joe's Barbecue, even though you're going to want to turn in there, okay, because you're going to smell it, but go past it. When you get to Culver's, turn left, okay? And when you turn left behind Culver's, there's a church there, Bethel Baptist Church. They're one of our partnering churches, and we're going to have a joint service with them next week. If the weather is nice, and we're praying that it will be, it's going to be outside underneath a big tent. We're going to have a ton of fun together. Going to be a neat joint worship service. Our band is going to play with a few of their instrumentalists joining us and a couple of their vocalists. So it'll be kind of a merge team. Their pastor, Wright Evanson, who many of you have met, he's come and prayed for us before. He's going to take part of the message time. I'm going to take part of the message time, and we're just going to do a neat joint thing that day. We're going to get to celebrate baptism together. All sorts of fun things are going to go on next week. We don't want you to miss it. And then here's the really cool thing. Not only are we going to worship together, but when that's done, we're going to eat together. And we need your help with that. We're going to do an old-fashioned potluck, okay? And if you've never done a potluck before, this is what happens. People bring food, and we eat it all. It's that simple, okay? But to make it all work, there are specific foods that we are to bring. That information is in your worship folder today, or you can find out about it on our website. I think we're bringing potato salad and a couple other things, and then they're bringing other stuff, and then all the fried chicken's being brought because fried chicken is the holy bird, and so that's what we're going to eat that day. It's going to be a ton of fun. When the meal is over, then we got games for kids. If you've got friends, neighbors, grandkids, all that kind of stuff, bring them with you that day. There's going to be bounce house. There's going to be an obstacle course bounce house thing. There's going to be carnival games. There's going to be train rides. There's going to be jeep rides for little kids, all sorts of fun stuff going on there. There's going to be bingo. Don't tell anybody, okay? There's going to be bingo that day. You can even win gift cards and all that kind of fun stuff. It's just going to be a fun day. At the end of it, we're going to have a softball game together. If you don't normally play on our softball team, that's okay. We're just all going to get together and play for fun that day. I'd love to have you join us. Going to be a neat time. I hope you choose to be with us next week. And don't forget about all the summer fun activities we've got coming up. You can find all that information on the website, takethenextstep.us. Have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday over there.